Here I am in the Congressional Corner with my friend of many years, John Faso. First of all, John, congratulations on your big win in your congressional race.
Thank you, Alan. It was great to win. It's humbling to win and to be supported by the majority of voters in our district. And I pledge to people I'm going to work hard for those that voted for me and those who didn't.
To what do you owe your success?
Well, I think there were many factors. I think that this turned out to be a good Republican year. As we saw around the country, we in the House only lost five or six seats, which is remarkable given that the class that was elected in 2014, that was the largest Republican majority since the 1920s. This Congress, the 115th, will have the second largest Republican majority in the House since the 1920s. We held the Senate, obviously. Donald Trump won the presidency, which surprised many observers. So it turned out to be a good year for Republicans generally. I think the other thing that I had a reservoir goodwill with many people that I had previously represented in the congressional district when I was formerly in the state legislature. And even though that was 14 years ago, I still was able to capitalize on many of the friendships and relationships I had built. It was very gratifying to have people come up to me and say, that, 15 years ago or 20 years ago, you did this or that for our family, or you helped us in this local town get our ambulance squad building. So those things mattered, and I think we ran a really good campaign. We worked hard, and it was a year and a half solid of work, and so it paid off. And like I said, I have to say, though, I was gratified with the election result, and I was secondly gratified that the election was over.
Do you know Donald Trump? Have you ever met him?
Yes, years ago I had actually met him.
Yeah. So Donald Trump is a New Yorker. You're a New Yorker. You're a Republican. Many congresspeople are not. Can you bring some bacon home for New York?
Well, I think it's a question of can we, it's not just bacon, bringing home bacon for New York, for our state, but it's also a question of fixing the tax code. Of fixing the regulatory system, which is impeding the private sector growth in our economy. And all throughout this campaign, I heard from people, whether they were Democrats, Republicans, independents, they were concerned about jobs in the economy. They were concerned about property taxes. They were concerned in upstate New York, people are really concerned about their kids and grandchildren moving away because there aren't the opportunities.
Sure.
So I think the job that the Congress has, the job the new Trump administration has, and I certainly believe it's my focus is to try to change the tax laws, reform the tax policies, simplify it, fix the regulatory mess that is so often comes from Washington, also comes from Albany, by the way, but make it more the environment more conducive for private sector economic growth. I heard this over and over again, whether it was community bankers complaining about the regulatory excesses of Dodd-Frank. Whether it was bluestone miners in the Catskills, in the Catskill watershed area, complaining about the heavy-handed way in which they have to deal with the DEP, the New York City Department of Environmental Protection, in terms of just getting permits to do something. And then if they have a unsuccessful mining opportunity, because really it's prospecting when you're mining for bluestone, it takes them months to get their bond back from the city of New York. So The things that I heard, Obamacare, the ACA, I heard from businesses over and over again about what this is doing to them, how it's made it more difficult for them to provide reasonably cost insurance for their employees. And I heard from I even heard from a woman who works for a health plan who told me that the deductibles now on her health plan were such that it would basically, if she had a major health event, it would make it impossible for she and her family to economically get through that. So there, I heard from many, many people. And I think one of the things as we look back on this election, Alan, I think that the Bernie Sanders and the Donald Trump phenomenon were really the flip side of the same coin.
I agree with you.
You had people really concerned and expressing economic anxiety. And they may have come to some different conclusions as to what the solutions are, but it's still reflective of the same thing. People are really concerned about the future. They're concerned about flat wages and stagnant wages, and they're concerned about what kind of country we're going to leave our kids and grandchildren.
I want to ask you real quickly about your views on taxation. You want to recodify. What do you want to put in its place?
Well, for one thing, we have to simplify the code. It's a mass of special interest exemptions, deductions, carve-outs. You know, when Bill Bradley and Ronald Reagan did tax reform in 1986, and you and I, Alan, are both old enough to remember that.
Yeah.
When that happened in 86, the regulations in the IRS code were 26,000 pages. Today, it's 70,000 pages.
And it's all because of the guys. You're going to have to face this, of course, but I don't have to tell you. The guys are going to come running over from K Street, the lobbyists, and everybody's got their little thing, and everybody gets it put in. That's the 20,000 pages.
Well, this is what I'm going there to fight against. And I want to see a simplified tax code. I want to see something that doesn't have the government pick winners and losers. I want to see a code that is more reasonable in terms of businesses, particularly small business, and individuals being able to comply with the code. And just take, for instance, one of the proposals that I've supported. I want to see a small business, any business, if they make a capital investment for new equipment, plant, machinery, computers, vehicles that they use in their business, they make that capital expenditure. I want to see them be able to write it off in 1 year. Rather than have to go to their accountant and say, is this a 3-year depreciation? Is this a 5-year depreciation, et cetera? Make it less complicated for small business in particular to comply with the tax code. You know, we have, interesting thing in the United States, we have the highest level of voluntary compliance with tax code of any country in the world.
Mm.
And the reason for that is fundamentally people are honest. Now, the system, though, is making people very upset and very antagonized as to the complexity. So we will lose that compliance rate if we don't fix the complexity. And I want to see this done for small business and individuals. I also want to see the multinational companies, whether it's the Boeings, the Caterpillars, the MetLife, the IBMs, the companies that do business abroad. They have now $2.7 trillion of U.S. multinational company profits locked up abroad because they can't bring it home. If they bring it home, they're taxed twice. So we need to fix that. This is the so-called...
How do you fix that?
You don't tax them twice. Mm-hmm. The U.S., virtually alone among our major trading partners and international Western economies and countries like Korea and Japan, virtually alone, if our company... like a Boeing or Caterpillar, does business and sells tractors in Algeria, they get taxed there. And then if they bring the profit back to the United States, they get taxed again. No other country really does this. We have what's called a unitary tax system, which basically taxes the worldwide income of the company no matter where it's earned. And we need to switch to a territorial tax system so you only tax them where they earn the money.
Of course, there are the GEs, which don't pay anything.
Well, that's actually not true. But what I think you have to look at is whether it's GE or Boeing or any of these, if you get rid of exemptions and a lot of special interest stuff that's in there, everyone will pay their fair share. And I think, you know, Trump has proposed a 15% corporate tax rate. Paul Ryan has proposed 20 or 22%. It's probably going to wind up somewhere in the low 20s. But I think that's a much better rate than 35%. We have the highest corporate taxes in the world. And so when we wonder why we're not seeing more job growth, that's one of the reasons. It's not the whole reason, but we've got to get rid of these exemptions that make it easy for companies not to pay taxes.
Always fun to talk to my old friend, John Faso, on the Congressional Corner. John, when we come back the next time, we'll talk more about Paul Ryan.